Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to your innovative audience. We're thankful for your tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program. For it is our purpose to speak on the things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program, certainly we'd love to hear from you. You can do so by the address given by the announcer, or better yet, contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, much of what's said these days about women's work for the Lord is negative. That is, what they cannot do. But we often overlook the many things that they can do. I want us to now study to look at some Bible women who did significant things and did so without violating the restrictions that we find in 1 Corinthians 14 and in 1 Timothy 2. But before we do that, let's remind ourselves of what we find in those verses. First of all, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, "Let your women keep silent in your churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says." And then when we turn to 1 Timothy, notice chapter 2, and let us read verses 11 and 12. "Let your women learn in silence with all submission, for I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence." Elizabeth gave birth to John the Immerser. Mary gave birth to Jesus. When you think about that, there is no more significant contribution could possibly have been made than this. And it is something that certainly no man could have done. Take Joanna and Susanna and many others. They provided for Christ from their substance. This we read about in Luke's account. Notice chapter 8 and verse 5, where it says, chapter 8, verse 3, "Joanna, the wife of Cus, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance." The financial resources of many congregations today are significantly increased by the contributions of good women. The Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well in John chapter 4 encouraged her friends in verse 39 to come and see. And the result was that many of the Samaritans believed on Jesus. You know, there have been many visitors to today to the church services that are brought by good women who just simply say, "Come and see. Come and hear." And two, when Jesus was crucified, Luke records in chapter 23 and verse 49, the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. You know, with nothing more than that they could do, they doubtlessly comforted Christ by their simple presence there on that hill called Calvary. We know that Mary Magdalene was allowed to be the first to see the risen Christ, and she was the one that announced the resurrection of our Lord in Mark chapter 16 and verse 9. Then we read about Dorcas in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Verse 36 tells us that she was full of good works and charitable deeds that she did. And when she dies, verse 39 says, "All of the widows stood by, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made, while she was with them. There was a Mary of Jerusalem, who was the mother of Mark, who owned a house, and it's in Acts 12 and verse 12, it was where many were gathered together praying. And of course the context is they were there praying for Peter, because earlier in that 12th chapter, Herod had beheaded James, and now he has arrested Peter, and those of the church at Jerusalem were there in Mary's house having prayer for Peter. The prayer meeting was still in progress, even after midnight. And then we have Lydia. She is the first person that obeys the gospel in the city of Philippi. And it was on the very day that she was baptized that she offered lodging to the preachers who had come to her city. Later we find that Paul thanked the church in Philippi in Philippians 1 and verse 5 for the fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And then there's Priscilla and her husband. They, in Acts 19, verse 26, they took Apollos aside and they explained to him the way of God more accurately. Two, we read about both Priscilla and her husband were thanked by Paul and all of the churches of the Gentiles. For in Romans 16 and verse 4, Paul says that they had risked their necks for Paul's life. And it's in Rome that we see in chapter 16 and verse 5 that the church met in their house. Now when you think about that, that's an arrangement that almost always involves more inconvenience for the woman than it does for the man. Then we read about Phoebe in Romans. In Romans 16 and verse 1, she is described as a servant of the church at Caesarea. And verse 2 said she was a helper of many. In this same Roman letter in verse 6, Paul writes about a Mary in Rome who labored much for us. You know, every congregation that I've known had its female servants who were essential to its success. Euodia and Syntyche, Philippians 4 and verse 3, describe as labored with Paul in the gospel. You know, most gospel preachers can name numerous women who have cooked their meals, have washed their clothes, as well as provided contacts for them to teach. And then we read about the widow indeed, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 5. But notice what we read about her. She trusts in God and continues in supplication and prayer night and day. Can you imagine how much good has been accomplished by the prayers of such godly women? And then we read about the faith of Lois and Eunice. This is the grandmother and the mother of Timothy. Let's read 2 Timothy 1. Verse 5, Paul says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. So from childhood, in fact, if we go to the second letter where we are in Timothy to chapter 3, notice what Paul says here in verse 15. He said that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So from childhood, he has known, Timothy has known, the Holy Scriptures that made him wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. See, Timothy's salvation and the great work that we know that he did, that we read about throughout the book of Acts, he did all of that, and it was traceable to the influence of two good women. We read about Philip in Acts 21 and verse 9, and he had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And what we read in this verse about them is that they are mentioned with approval. It cannot be shown, however, that they prophesied in any assembly of men. For again, that would violate what we read to begin our study with, 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. So, we see that they, indeed, older women, are instructed in Titus 2, verses 4 and 5, to admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. See, godly women teach these subjects to older women much more effectively than men can. Godly women today find yet other ways of serving without crossing over the boundaries that have been set by the Holy Spirit. Romans 12, let's read verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, but the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. You see, men and women have some unique functions in the body of Christ. No member of the body exercising his or her God-given function is to feel either inferior or superior. And this is put in very simple terms for us to understand in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now, God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, these members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And then he talked about how that we are to be members one of another. And verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So we see then, men and women have some unique functions in the body of Christ, but no member is to feel inferior or superior because each is needed, and each needs all the others. You know, in the world, greatness is measured in terms of the office it's held and the authority that that office might exercise. But here, notice the statement Jesus made. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to be great among you shall be your servant, and whoever desires to be first shall be slave of all. Limiting the offices women can fill or the authority that they exercise does not limit their opportunity for greatness. They are only inferior if they are inferior in service. In most congregations, Christian women as a group excel the men in dedicated, humble service. And this is what true greatness is in the kingdom of our Lord. We appreciate you listening. Our time is up. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.